Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Well, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today, we're going to be joined by Ben Wilson. Ben is a good friend of mine. He is the executive pastor of Grace Community Church in Berea, Kentucky, where he seeks to equip Christians to understand the Bible through music and teaching. He enjoys spending time with his wife and their three daughters. You often find Ben reading a thick theological book, and today he is going to talk with us about intimacy and marriage. I know that you'll be blessed by his teaching and by this episode. So without further ado, here's Ben.
Well, hello, my name is Ben Wilson. I'm one of the pastors at Grace Community Church in Berea, Kentucky. I want to say thank you to Dave for asking me to do this video for Warriors of Grace. Today we're going to be talking about intimacy in marriage. And right off the bat, most of the guys either listening to this or watching it probably just got a little uncomfortable. Intimacy, we don't like that word as guys. And in some ways, rightly so, because we understand that intimacy requires a certain closeness that as men we're typically not comfortable with, or we think we're exempt from it. Maybe that's something that our wives need to worry about, or maybe it's just something we're flat out unwilling to pursue. An intimacy between a husband and a wife, it requires and involves familiarity, friendship, and closeness. And it requires mutual resolve between a husband and wife to cultivate this. It requires sharing life with one another. And it shouldn't surprise us that marriage involves this intimate closeness. Marriage, after all, is a picture of Christ and the church. And Paul writes in Ephesians 5:25 that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ gave himself up for the purpose of redeeming the church, sanctifying the church, and presenting the church without wrinkle or blemish. And Jesus has a close relationship with the church. He is intimately acquainted with it. Not too long ago, our pastor preached on Revelation 1, 9 through 20. And if you're familiar with that passage, it's the first vision in Revelation that John has. And it's a picture of these seven lampstands. And John sees one like a son of man walking in the middle of them, walking amidst them. And what John sees is a picture of Jesus with his church. Jesus is present with the church. He's right in the middle of them. He's not a distant leader, but he's one who is intimately close. So marriage pictures the gospel, this relationship of Christ and the church. But before we get into the different areas of intimacy that we as husbands need to lead in, it's important for us to remember something that's even more foundational to our marriages, and that is that as husbands, we are in Christ first and foremost before we are anything else. We are husbands that are in Christ. Being in Christ, that is the most important reality about us, not being a husband, not being a father, not whatever job we might work. It is that we are in Christ. And true intimacy with our wives can only happen when we possess a vital and living and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls this relationship union with Christ. And the Apostle John records some of Jesus' teaching about this great reality in John 15. You're probably familiar with it. In the passage, Jesus uses the analogy of the vine and the branches. Jesus is the vine, and we as his disciples are the branches. And as the branches abide in the vine, that is when they bear much fruit. And apart from the vine, they can do nothing. This is what Jesus says in verse 5 of chapter 15. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." Nothing. So apart from Christ, you cannot be the husband God calls you to be. Apart from union with Christ, you cannot be the husband that God calls you to be to your wife. Union with Christ supplies the power we need to love our wives as Jesus loved the church. Union with Christ helps us where we are weak. And as we think through these areas of intimacy, we need to remember that first and foremost, we are in Christ. And as we work to cultivate these areas of intimacy into our marriages, we do it as those who are in Christ. So what are these areas? Well, there's five that we're going to look at, and they're not unique to me. As I was researching this, I saw these over and over. So the five areas are spiritual, recreational, intellectual, physical, and emotional. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at these five areas, and then we're going to look at some obstacles that try to prevent us from cultivating this intimacy. And then lastly, we will close by looking at a few of the one another passages from the New Testament and how they help us cultivate intimacy in our marriages. So first, spiritual intimacy. This intimacy must be present and growing for the other four areas of intimacy to properly work. This is the foundation of intimacy. And as husbands, if we don't take the lead here, we're going to struggle to take the lead elsewhere. Just a few moments ago, I mentioned Ephesians 5 and that Jesus gave himself for the church to redeem her, to sanctify her, to present her without wrinkle or blemish. In verse 28, as you keep reading, Paul says, "In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." So in the same way, we are to look to Christ to cultivate this intimacy. So Christian husbands, those who have been united to Christ, are to love their wives by giving themselves for her good. And our wife's ultimate good is that she would grow more and more and more into the likeness of Christ. And if we're honest, there's an incredible weight to that. It is a mammoth responsibility. And that's why we began with union with Christ. You are not on your own. You are not left to your own power. And I feel safe in saying this, that this is one area where many of us feel that we fall very short. I know I do. If that is where you are, my goal is to encourage you so that we can forget what lies behind and we can look to what lies ahead. And by God's grace, because you are in union with Christ and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can act today to develop the spiritual intimacy of your marriage. Well, how can we cultivate this spiritual intimacy? Well, at least five ways. You could think of more. But first, both husbands and wives need to make more of Jesus than they do their own marriage. Paul said in Philippians 3:8 that he counted everything as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. So remember, with spiritual intimacy, the goal is not the marriage in and of itself. The goal is God's glory being manifested as we picture what God created marriage to be, which is the relationship between Christ and his church. So that's the goal of intimacy, is to make much of Jesus for God's glory. That's the goal of spiritual intimacy. Second, be open with one another. Share the good and share the bad. Husband, open up to your wife about what you're learning from Scripture, where the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, and how by God's grace you are growing in holiness. Listen to your wife as she shares the same. Share your spiritual life with one another. And this takes work. It takes trust, but it's worth it. Some of my most spiritually miserable times have been when I've just not been willing to share with my wife. I know she loves me. I know I can trust her, but I wouldn't open up to her. I was hurting her, I was hurting myself, by not sharing what God was doing in my life. And an unintentional consequence of this was that my wife assumed that I had no issues, that I had it all together. And that wasn't the case. So that's the second way. The third way is to lead in family devotions, lead in family worship. And obviously, this involves the whole family if you have children, not just your wife. But it's a way that you can also help your wife and you guys together can cultivate that spiritual intimacy. And family worship could be another area where we beat ourselves up. So just think of aiming for consistency and not perfection. If you have little ones at home, then keep it simple. You might just be able to read a few verses and then pray and then put the kids to bed. As they get older, you might be able to do more. But do what is realistic, both to keep yourself from discouragement and to develop the habit of the Word of God being at the center of your family. Fourth, read the Bible and pray together as your husband and wife. So this is separate from family devotions, but it could be just as simple. Different stages of life may enable you to do more or less. And again, aim for consistency and take initiative here. Pray with your wife, even when she doesn't ask you to. Be proactive instead of being reactive. Pick a book of the Bible to read it together, read through it together, then discuss what you read, then pray about what you read. Lastly, worship corporately together. In other words, be a healthy church member. Be healthy church members together. The Christian life and Christian marriages are not meant to be in isolation from other Christians and other Christian marriages. Your wife is not enough, and you are not enough for your wife. You both need the church. You need the encouragement that comes through hearing the saints of God, seeing the great truths of our faith. You need the preaching of Scripture. You need to listen to that together. You need to sing together. You need to take the sacraments together. So this spiritual intimacy is the foundation. This is the first thing. And when we put first things first, God has a way of working to take care of the other areas of our life. It's what we see throughout Scripture. So pour your time, pour your energy into this area. And I don't want to say I promise, because I can't guarantee anything, but I do believe you will begin to see benefits in all the other areas of intimacy when you work on being faithful in this one. So that's spiritual. Next is recreational. God gave you your wife to enjoy life with. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, enjoy life with the wife whom you love. So, take time to do something that you both enjoy. One way to build intimacy is just to have fun with one another. Go laugh. Watch a movie you can both laugh at. Play a game together. Go climb a mountain. Go try something new. It could be food. It could be an activity. Just do something to enjoy life together and have some fun. If you've got kids at home, that may require you to be a little bit more creative. Maybe it's hard to get help with babysitting, or maybe you're away from family and it's harder for grandparents to just take the children when you might need some time. So get creative. That's just a practical suggestion. You don't have to do what my wife and I do. We do something we call a couch date, where once a month, at least, when the kids go to bed, we'll have a treat of some sort, cake or ice cream, and we just sit on the couch and we eat it, and we might watch videos on YouTube or something like that, but just something to have fun with one another. So recreational intimacy, then intellectual. Have conversations that are intellectually stimulating. Think about issues with each other. This happens when a relationship is new. This happens quite a lot because you're getting to know one another. We want to talk about what might mutually interest us. But we need to remember in our marriages that we are both growing. And just because your wife talked about an issue 5 years ago, that doesn't mean she thinks the same thing today as she did 5 years ago. So talk about these issues. It could be political issues, theological issues. Talk about Plato, whatever you might be reading together. Talk about it and discuss it. And as a side note, this is also a really good way to work through problems. And the problem may not necessarily be with your marriage, but it's a good way for you to watch your wife and your wife to watch you to see how you're handling problems with biblical wisdom. So it could present an opportunity for you to take notes where you might be able to encourage your wife towards Christ-likeness, and or she could do the same for you. So we've done three so far: spiritual, recreational, and intellectual. And fourth is physical. And as men, if we're honest, this is where our minds immediately go when we think of intimacy. Our minds also almost exclusively think that physical intimacy is only sexual. Sex is part of it, but by itself it's an incomplete picture. So physical intimacy can include holding hands, cuddling on the couch, sex, and more. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 5, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love." So physical intimacy is a cause for joy and a cause for delight. We should be joyful about it. We should delight in it. We should revel in this physical love with our wife. And one thing that as husbands we're going to have to be aware of is that we need to be comfortable with physical intimacy that does not always lead to the bedroom. Sometimes your wife may just need to hold your hand. She may just need you to put your arm around her. And you need to be comfortable with that just being it. Holding hands or cuddling or putting your arm around your wife and just sitting on the couch does not always have to end with sex. And this will serve your wife. It will cultivate your physical intimacy with her more than pushing for sex in that moment will. Because you'll be frustrated and she will be frustrated and it's not going to go anywhere. Lastly, emotional. If physical intimacy is what men crave most, in most situations, emotional intimacy is what wives crave most. And emotional intimacy is an area where our hearts are revealed. So as husbands, we neglect this area to our own detriment. Because emotional intimacy is an opportunity to share experiences with one another. And we have to remember that while emotions may manifest differently between men and women, we are both emotional beings. We have emotions. I went to a basketball game last night as of this recording, and I hadn't gone to a basketball game in years, and the basketball team I watched, I hadn't watched all year. I had no attachment to this team whatsoever, but my girls wanted to go watch the team, and I couldn't believe how excited I was getting for a high school girls basketball game. No, that was emotion. We are emotional beings. But if we neglect this area, we're going to miss an important part of sanctification for ourselves and for our wives. Because what we want to do in this area as we're growing is we both want our emotions to be bent towards Scripture so that we become more like Christ. And neglecting this area shows your wife that you're not interested about how she feels. So do not fall into the trap of thinking that when your wife is talking about her emotions, that means that she's being driven by her emotions. That could be the case, but it doesn't mean it is the case just because she shares. Listen and share your emotions. What are you feeling? If you feel sad, say that. It's okay. So those are the five areas: spiritual, recreational, intellectual, physical, and emotional. And these areas of intimacy require work. And you cannot cultivate them without action. Now remember, when we say action, we're not saying you have to muster up some drive to do this. We are saying, as Christians, that you have been united to Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You have help. You have power. So as you're working, there will be obstacles. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, "Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom." And the picture Solomon paints here is of potential issues that might spoil a marriage. The foxes, the issues need to be caught and they need to be taken care of. So when we think of intimacy, what are the foxes to be aware of? Well, let's just focus on two, although we could say more. And the first is just a busy life. The busyness of life can come in many forms. Before children, it could be work, it could be church service, it could be friends. Once children can come into the picture, you can be busy without ever leaving your house. So you have to watch your schedule. You have to pay attention to the last time you had uninterrupted alone time with one another, because it's hard to develop this intimacy that we're talking about in marriage if you're never together. And this is more than just eating dinner together as a family. We're talking about intentional time where you and your wife are working to develop this intimacy for your marriage. And the second is it's a lack of effort. And this is rather obvious. If you don't work at intimacy, then it won't happen. It is impossible to drift into intimacy. And relationships are hard work, and marriage is no exception. And marital intimacy is hard work, but it is worth it. So it's hard work, and we need to be aware of those obstacles, and we need to guard against them. But the New Testament offers us so much encouragement. And I think as we look at the one another passages, we find help for how we should live in the church, but also help for our marriages. So as a final encouragement, let's look at a few of these one another passages. And they provide us help in any area of intimacy that we might struggle, and they will help us catch the little foxes. So Paul wrote to the Galatian church, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Later in the same letter we read, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The Apostle Peter wrote, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin." Love for God motivates love for our spouse. There is a real temptation to not work in an area of intimacy in which we might struggle. It is easier to throw up our hands and to just not try. Or we may give the excuse, "I'm not an emotional guy," or "I'm not that intellectual, so I'm exempt from this." Well, love for Christ compels us to work for the good of our spouse. You were called to freedom, but don't use that freedom as an opportunity to be lazy. Use it as an opportunity to serve your wife. Keep loving your wife earnestly. And your area of weakness is an opportunity to glorify God and serve your wife. So pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to serve your wife in any of these areas where you might struggle. So what step of obedience do you need to take today? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal where you can be more faithful to your wife, and above all, how you can be more faithful to your Heavenly Father.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.